Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I am very excited to introduce you to my first guest on the Road Rash podcast, Warren Bobrow. Now, Warren has been an author for the cocktail industry for a long time, not just a writer. He's also a chef. He's a mixologist, a jack of all trades, but he's also someone that's very well respected in the industry. He's written three books, one of which has been nominated for a Tales of the Cocktail Award. But the main book that I'm really jacked about is Apothecary Cocktails, which got in the top 1% of all spirits books on Amazon, which is killer, and nominated for a Spirit Award Tales Cocktail. His second book, Whiskey Cocktails, released on November 14th and got a lot of recognition. His current book is Bitters and Shrubs Syrup Cocktails, and it's absolutely amazing. But the cocktail book that I'm interested in talking to him about is his newest one, which deals with the cannabis industry, which is actually something that is big in the world right now. And it's so cool that somebody that has so much respect, that cares about the industry, is tackling on something like this. And so I want to present to you guys a good friend of mine, Warren Bobrow. And please tell me about what you got going on.
This is a book that no one else has written before, because I really believe that everyone's been afraid to write about what they're truly passionate about. And I think the liquor industry has been afraid of this. I think they're one of the great things that they're afraid of is that someone is going to mix cannabis and alcohol together, and someone's going to have a bad experience, and they're going to be worried that it's going to taint the water. But I have dispelled all of those inaccuracies.
And it's a lot of that conversation that was happening when people started infusing tobacco into cocktails.
Yeah, like that La Perique tobacco from New Orleans. You still can't use it in the United States in an infused beverage.
Mm-hmm. Why?
You can only use it in France.
Why is that?
Because there's a little rule that our TTB has instituted that you can't mix tobacco and alcohol.
Mm-hmm. And on top of it all, there's a lot of bartenders that kind of stood up through social media who are very much denouncing the use of this, just because there is a danger level of having too much nicotine being infused into these type of things. But now we're dealing with a little different of a situation. But at the same time, I guess the ideology to me kind of sticks.
Well, absolutely, because it's historic and people are afraid of absinthe. They're afraid of cannabis. They're afraid of tobacco. They're afraid of so many different things that they're just afraid of, and they don't know why they're afraid of them. But I'll tell you why they're afraid of them. It's because of people telling them that smoking reefer or taking cannabis is going to make them crazy.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And that still exists. Like, you even look at the new there's a viral marketing campaign that's happening in, it's either in Australia or New Zealand, where they're using the sloth as this version of a character of what happens to you when you smoke weed, basically. And it's mm-hmm. becoming this kind of just funny, hilarious type of ordeal to it. And what I like seeing now, especially what's happening in the mainstream, seeing states like Colorado, Alaska, places that are really setting the precedent to allow this to come into the mainstream is regulating it in a way, but also being open-minded into a way that it's not just something that people use just to get high. You know, it's something that people use as medicine. It's something that people use as a flavoring component. It is an herb. It does add a flavor.
It also adds a great aroma.
Yeah.
There's amazing aromas.
Amazing aromas. I mean, in your book, and I hate to be remiss to have finally said the name of it, but the Cannabis Cocktails, Mocktails, and Tonics, to me is just you're really taking it to a level of class that no one's done before. And I think that's really amazing. And I'm sorry, it's Cannabis Cocktails, Mocktails, and Tonics, the Art of Spirited Drinks and Budworthy Libations. I think it's
amazing. That is right.
I think that's amazing. Duff, what you thinking about all this, man? We're about to be making drinks with weed.
I'm just trying to figure out how it is, and I'm going to light the bowl and take the shot at the same time.
Well, you're not actually, Brian. What you're going to do is you're going to infuse that great product. You're going to take that OG Kush and you're going to make something that spicy and fresh, and you're going to use a little rum agar call. In fact, I was just thinking of the of one of my cocktails in the book. I took a tea punch, you know, the rum agar call, lime, and sugar cane syrup, and I infused the sugar cane syrup with pure THC oil, a tincture. And I made it so it was something that you didn't have to have two hands. You only had to have one.
So let me ask you a question. How was it that you came up with 75 cocktails this way? I mean, did you sit down and start writing it all down? Or was it, you know, were these things that you've been playing with for years? What was the process of coming up with those 75 cocktails?
Being the cocktail whisperer, I'm entrusted with certain skills and tasks. And one of the things that I've been entrusted with is a talent to build cocktails based on my history of being a saucier and a chef. So I understand flavor. And I created cocktails which I believed had certain healing abilities. And I think they're pretty well proven over history because I took the classics and I twisted them up a bit. But I also created drinks that appealed to me. Like in India, when it's really hot outside, what would you drink? You'd probably get a lassi. So I would take some of the yogurt or coconut milk or whatever I was using, and that would be a great basis for infusion. So how long was I working on this? Not very long, but the basic recipes were something that I understood about because I'd taken edibles before and I knew what they did to me. And I knew how to harness the ingredients to make them something that was different, that no one else had done before. Now, I know that my friend Kara Newman has written a nice article on using cannabis in cocktails, but no one has written a book on it, and I really am the first.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Amazing.
Now, did you find in your research, and I know that you dig in to everything.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Did you ever find any kind of old school recipes or anything that actually did use cannabis, did use these ingredients that don't exist anymore?
Yeah, of course I did, but they were mostly for edibles, and there's no edibles in this book.
Yeah, yeah. I'm talking about, and you're talking about very historic historic edibles, basically.
Yes, but also when I was down in New Orleans during Tales of the Cocktail this past year, I did a presentation for apothecary cocktails over at the Pharmacy Museum. And wouldn't you know it, in the case right next to where I was set up, right inside the front door by the soda fountain, there was a whole section of information based on Indian cigarettes and what they were used for. And what Indian cigarettes really were was the La Prairie tobacco from Louisiana mixed with cannabis. And you would use that for lung ailments, if you can believe that or not. So it has a little touch of snake oil in there. And so I really think that the only thing that really did have any healing merit was the cannabis, because certainly the tobacco is not a great healing ingredient. But then again, it might well be. I never use cigarettes, but I will tell you that some people enjoy them, so let them enjoy them.
You know, and then on top of it all, as bartenders and people in this industry, chefs as well, Duff, you know all this, you know, marijuana use is very prevalent in our industry, you know, and whether we use it to slow us down at the end of the night, whether some of us smoke to slow us down so that we can deal with people, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we are like therapists.
Yeah, it's like therapists. and but no one's had the gall to actually to touch on it to the point to writing a book of where you have determined everything from the tinctures to the extracts to the syrups, how to use this properly, what to do. What really gets your rocks off about what you're doing in this? What is it, the tinctures? Is it what was the hardest part that you thought was the coolest?
I'm all about flavor, and I'm all about aroma, and I'm all about authenticity. And I built the cocktails so they could be made without the active ingredients. So they had great structure, they had great balance, they had great flavor. I used bitters, I used shrubs, vinegars, you know, different concentrates, fresh herbs. I'm really interested in nostalgia. I'm really interested in flavor. So you could take out the cannabis element and still have a carefully made, classically prepared, Jerry Thomas-influenced craft cocktail that tasted just fabulous even without the active ingredient. But the active ingredient is very important to me because I looked at that ingredient like someone would write about wine or write about whiskey. So I gave tasting notes for, I don't know, maybe 40 different strains or something. I forget how many different strains, but I did complete tasting notes like someone would write about fine wine or write about single malt scotch.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Wow. When was, you know, first off, how long have you been a chef?
I went to Johnson & Wales for culinary school in 1987, but I started as a pot scrubber in 1985 when I realized that my career as a television engineer was going nowhere. And I really, really always wanted to be a chef. So I knew that the only way to becoming a chef was to become a pot scrubber. And I took my 4-year Emerson College degree and started washing dishes.
And when did you make that mix into the cocktail end of things? When did you make that dive, I guess?
You know, so it wasn't in the same timeline. The cocktail thing really only came to me in the past 5 years or so. I was working for a magazine out in Seattle, although I was doing it here from New Jersey, called Serve Raw magazine, and I just sort of fell into it. I was writing about wine, I was writing about food, but you know, those markets are very, very saturated, and it's tough to get a break in them. And I saw the quality of the writing that was going on in the cocktail world, and I thought, you know, if I'm writing all over the world, and I'm really well known in Europe, and I'm really well known in the Pacific Rim, and I'm really well known in, you know, in other places outside of the New York metro area, then why can't I do what I seem to be passionate about, what really drives me, and that was to write about cocktails, but not necessarily writing about what other people were doing, but it was something that was happening inside my mind. So back in like 1989, I owned the only manufacturing company of fresh pasta in South Carolina, and we had Hurricane Hugo later that year where I lost everything. Our company was destroyed. We lost all the people we did business with. It was a real mess. And it came to me right around that time that I just didn't belong behind the stove anymore. And I really needed to find myself some other place within the industry. So I took a job out in Scottsdale at the Scottsdale Princess Hotel, which is a 5-star, 5-diamond property. We were doing, you know, tens of thousands of meals a week. And if that didn't make me never want to cook again, I don't know what did, but that was the driving factor. And at the end of the winter season, they laid me off. I came back east and I didn't have a job. I didn't want to work in New York City as a cook because that was real, you know, there wasn't a whole lot going on in the early 90s in New York City yet.
Right.
So I didn't want to work in the hotel business. Johnson & Wales could have gotten me a job at the prison business, you know, because they were hiring for cruise ships and prisons. And that was no place for me, so I got a job as a bank teller. And for 20 years, I worked my way up from the bottom of the banking career right up to private banking. But it was no place for me. I didn't belong there. My passion was in food. My passion was in spirits. And I just needed to have that right opportunity to get myself there.
That's awesome.
Well, so, and now let me ask you another question, just because we're dipping into the cannabis related culture, which is something that we're in the midst of a revolution in the United mm-hmm. States. How long have you been a cannabis user?
13. Yeah, 14. So maybe my uncle was a hippie. I went to Harvard Business School, University of Pennsylvania in 1969. Okay. He worked in the movie business. There was certainly always great pot around.
So when did you actually decide, okay, fuck, I need to combine these two and start playing around? Because you released the book first, Cooking with Cannabis.
Well, actually, the book hasn't come out yet. The book will be out in June, so we're still premature on that one. But it is in pre-sale, so someone could go up onto Amazon or go to my publisher, you know, Cordo Publishing, Fairwinds Press, and they could pre-order the book, but it's not quite out yet. We're just finishing up the endorsement section.
Yeah.
So, you know, it hasn't been published yet. It will be in June of 2016. I'm patient, not really, but I really want to push forward and get this thing out because now is the time. And
absolutely,
as from an ingredient standpoint, it just makes so much sense, because with all the states which are turning over and going either medical marijuana being legalized or full legalization, as there is in Oregon or Washington State or, you know, District of Columbia, you know, there are places that that people want to do something other than just have a drink, or they want to do something other than smoke a ball. They want to try new flavors. They want to make something that no one else has done before. That is what I did. I created something that no one else has done before. Absolutely. And I just want to do it in my own way.
And now, and bring an ingredient that actually adds to the flavor of something. You know, I've always been a fighter for trying to get as much of the cool stuff into to a location as possible to give the best experience possible. And to me, it's just cannabis is just another herb in the arsenal of herbs that we can use in cocktails, you know?
Yeah, and it also actually has some really great healing benefits, which we just absolutely love to talk about.
I was
different strains just offer different abilities of, you know, if you feel tense, you can use an indica, if you know, to calm you down. If you feel like you need stimulation, you can use your sativas to make you perky and crisp and succinct and on target and on task. I mean, there's so many different ways of using the product and not even bringing in the alcohol element. So with that said, I really wanted to promote the use of alcohol as a balance of flavor, a balance of color, a balance of intensity, a balance of effect, and make it something that no one else had done before, and make it something that is so delectable that you just have to go out and do it. Like, you know, we're all familiar with the classic workhorse of the rum, you know, the rum duty punch is either a milk punch with rum or a fruit punch with rum or a pina colada with rum. I mean, we're all familiar with those drinks, but have you ever considered taking that coconut milk and infusing it with pure THC? I mean, you have a drink of biblical proportion. You have something that really will knock your socks off. And you don't have to have more than one in an hour to enjoy yourself, because the effect is slightly different than just the pure alcohol effect.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And do you find, and sorry, Duffy, I keep on asking questions, but I guess it's because I'm totally into cannabis cocktails.
It's a great book.
Yeah, I mean, but do you find, you know, that for one, what a great win it is for you to have gotten Anna Paul Tennerman with Tales of the Cocktail to support what you're doing here. You know, because there is that mindset that what you're doing is
well, it runs right in the face of what the liquor industry wants to see happen.
Yeah.
And if anything, I mean, I can't tell you what they want to see happen. I don't have my ear to the ground that way, but I will tell you that there's been a historic bias from the alcohol companies against cannabis and cannabis use.
Yeah.
It would be very funny for me to imagine them to do a complete turnaround. But I think with Anne's support and certainly the article that they wrote about, you know, me saying that, it's, you know, it's not a stoner drug. It's not something that your people are going out and they just want to get obliterated. That just wasn't my tack at all.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, we were on Facebook and, you know, Anne's on Facebook with me and so is Paul. And, you know, I really haven't heard about, you know, Paul's opinion on this. So I'm not going to, you know, supersede anything that he has to say. But Anne and I had the conversation where she first said that she really wasn't quite sure about this. She said, I don't know about this. Mm-hmm. So I contacted her privately and I said, Anne, you know, I'm not asking you to like this. I'm not asking you to embrace it. I'm just asking you to give me a chance. Give me a chance to show you that it's not just about getting stoned. Give me a chance to tell you that and try to instruct you that there are flavors at work here which are not necessarily flavors that we're accomplished with, that we're accustomed to, that we know about. This is something completely new. And she said, okay, Warren, I'll give you that chance. And I'm going to send someone out, you know, over the airwaves and interview you for this article that we're planning on doing about cannabis and how it's really not just about getting stoned.
Yeah.
What it is about an integral homeopathic healing folk medicine ingredient that you know, that the uses go back thousands of years.
Amazing.
And that was my tack.
Amazing.
And that's what I feel very, very strongly about. And if anyone says, you know, well, you know, the people that smoke pot are just dirty hippies. Well, they might well be dirty hippies, but a lot of them are smart, too. And I happen to be one of them who dresses up well.
Well, you know, so. I'm sorry.
Come on, man. We can dress well and still have fun. We're not all dirty hippies.
Right. And be dirty.
Not all dirty.
Yes.
Exactly.
To
look
me,
at everybody who smokes
me,
these days.
Is elevating this level of class to it. And, you know, on my end, mad respect being someone that's been in the industry and knows the fights that happen. And I'm sure that you got half the people that are going to love you for this and look at you as a revolutionary. And then the other half are going to worry about what it means and what it is. And
well, they absolutely, and they have already.
And they have,
And I will not tell you the brands, but I'll tell you, I'm surprised that the brands that said no to me about inclusion in the book, I was shocked. I truly was, because there are brands that originally may or may not have used cannabis in their recipes, but we can't ascertain that because they're European products. But I will say, you know, I'll give you that they're European products. But there's a historic bias against cannabis in some European countries. Whether it's been legalized or not, still it's a historic bias against it. So I wasn't looking to change their minds as much as I was to open them to new opportunities.
Well, you know, the ones that do get on board, they're the ones that are the forward thinkers and the ones that are really more understanding to the fact of what this really is. And it's not that scary thing, you know.
Well, of course not. And that's why I was a little disappointed when I looked at some of the companies that said no. And I said, why are you saying no? You haven't even tried it and you're already saying no. And basically they came back saying, well, you know, drugs are bad. You know, I felt like I was watching South Park. Drugs are bad.
This is actually an interesting question. So Duffy, okay, so let's say you're with your family and you go into this cocktail bar, okay?
Yeah.
And I'm talking about not like your kids and stuff like that, but like your mom, dad, everybody that drinks in your family in your get-together for New Year's or whatever, right? But so happens there's a cannabis cocktail that's on the menu. Would it make you feel weird in ordering that one cannabis cocktail when no one else was doing it just because you want to try it and just because we support that guy thing?
Are you asking whether or not I would order a cannabis cocktail while I'm out with my family?
Yeah.
You know, if I were out with my parents, that might be one thing. But if I was out with my daughters, then no. You know, I mean, there's still a little bit of stuff that surrounds it that we just don't want to, you know. I mean, if I'm out with the boys, absolutely, man. I mean, there's no doubt about that, how it's going to happen. But if I'm out with my daughters, no, not ordering a cannabis cocktail.
No.
But I'll be back.
The mother.
And I'm gonna geotag that. I'm gonna do everything I can on that one. So yeah, I'll totally be back.
I guess I was getting to was trying to figure out whether or not you would be uncomfortable amongst a other group people that didn't, you know, necessarily partake in cannabis, whether or not you would feel weird being the one that ordered it, you know?
You know,
like the one guy that's smoking the joint at the party.
Look, I never started touching anything until I was 38 years old, okay? I tried once when I was 14. I got really, really sick. And again, I didn't do anything. What'd you say?
I thought you were 35.
No, I'm on my 7th anniversary of that, Russell. Sorry. But in this day and age, it is so widely accepted that it's not even a question. You know, I mean, I travel all over the country. I meet people all over the country. And I've had people say, hey, I'm going to step outside for a second. You know, when I look over and say, oh, are you going to smoke weed? And they just kind of stop for a second. They're like, yeah. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. You know, I mean, there's not even a question. I don't think that there is that same kind of stigma that comes along with it as there was, I hate to say it, 2 years ago. You know, I mean, now I think, I mean, Warren, I'm going to be honest with you. I think that what you're coming out with right now is absolutely awesome. I hate to say that I have to wait until June 2016 to get the book, but because I'm the type of guy, like, I love a book like that. And the fact that you're a chef means so much to me because of the fact that you've now taken
I mean, one, chefs are insane anyway, okay? We're always trying to find a creative outlet for what it is. And Warren, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going through your Instagram right now, and I'm in love with you, dude. I'm in love with you because your Instagram is so reminiscent of what I try to do.
You know, when I was at the Moscow Bar Show, check out the Moscow Bar Show stuff, and you'll see something truly awesome because that's the hidden place. We have to go. I'm telling you, you have to go to Russia.
Okay, we're going to Russia.
Like you are, except for they speak Russian.
I'm fine with that.
It's amazing. Well,
Warren, do me a favor, it's because you have a boatload of – I mean, your Instagram is awesome. You know, I know a lot of people kind of look at Instagram and, you know, it's mom taking pictures of the kids or, hey, we all put pictures of our Christmas tree up. But yours is truly professional. You know, I mean, there's a lot of good of your personality in here. I love the fact that your gnome's in here. I'm a huge fan of a person that takes Instagram and really adds that creativity to it. You know, and that's something by looking at your pictures. I mean, dude, I'm looking at lobster rolls right now with Utz potato chips tacked onto them. So, you know, I mean –
I was up in Lynn in Massachusetts, actually Revere in Massachusetts.
And you got some Harleys in here too, my friend. I'm checking them out. There's a Triumph. Yeah. But I think that, you know, I love when Russell had initially said that he wanted to have you on, I was really stoked about it. But I'll be honest, whether it's the bond of being behind the line or whether it's that bond of a kitchen or a culinary degree, I really love the fact because it means that there's so much more that went into that because you made the decision to make that leap into the cocktail. So, you know, I mean, whereas Russell...
Well, that's exactly.
It is that natural talent with what it is that he does, and he's made that his career. Like, I love the fact that you made that leap over to that side of it. So kudos to you, man. I'm really stoked about that. So I can't wait to get this book. I wish I knew somebody I could get an early copy from, but don't send me anything because I just ordered it from Amazon.
I might be able to show you a galley when they come out, but not quite yet.
I gotcha.
and from my end, man, like, honestly, kudos to the balls you had to come out and do this. And I see this as being one of the next books that's going to be on every shelf of every cocktail bar next to the books that are, you know, the essential cocktail next to the Jerry Thomas books, because to me this is something the industry needs, and it's something that is very, very important. So,
well, that's why I was so pleased that Anne believed in me, because she had an opportunity of saying, you know, Warren, it's a great idea, but I really don't want to be identified with it. Instead, what she did is, it's a great idea, and I really want to be identified with it because I want to help you go forward. And that's just, that means more to me than anything in the world.
You need someone to sit down and try every single one of the cocktails, I would love to.
I'm taking
absolutely. We can arrange that.
And Russell, guess what? You need to come over here because of the fact that Warren is actually from Morristown, New Jersey. Is that right?
That is right. That's only about an hour northeast of where you are.
You're not far from me at all. So, Russell, I may call you one night while I'm at Warren's house and while we're making some awesome cocktails. And maybe we can...
I'm 37 cocktails in.
Exactly. I'm 37 cocktails and 14 joints into this. And now we're going to start cooking. Oddly enough, we're making chicken fingers and popcorn. But guess what? We're good.
As long as you're making popcorn with cannabis butter, you'll be just fine.
Oh, you know what, man? I may need a place to sleep. I may need a place to sleep that night, so I might have to crash in your test kitchen.
Definitely.
So.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. That's all right.
Warren, thanks for coming on, my friend. Let's pound this out there, guys. His book comes out this summer. It's already for pre-sale on Amazon. It is June 1st, 2016, Cannabis Cocktails, Mocktails, and Tonics, the art of spirited drinks and buzzworthy libations. Guys, this is the classiest way to bring cannabis and cocktails together, and Warren is one of the most respected men in our industry.
Thank you.
How can we find you again, Warren?
That's great. I'm really honored to be here. Thank you both, gentlemen. I appreciate it.
Awesome. Hey,
Warren, can you do me a favor? Can you give us ways that we can reach out to you?
Yes, you can reach me on Twitter, at Warren Bobrow with the number one. You can reach me on Facebook, which is W Bobrow. You can look at my Instagram at my name, Warren Bobrow. Or you can just shoot me an email, jockeyhollow@mac.com. Or you can check out my webpage, cocktailwhisperer.com.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, man. Hey, thank you so much. I can't wait to get that book, and I'm being dead serious. I'll send you some information. You know, if you ever want to play, please definitely keep me in mind. I'm not that far from you, and, you know, I'd love to play around. I'm going to be doing some stuff up at with some cocktails and whatnot up at Mohegan Sun this in January. So I don't know if you ever get up for those, nice. Those type of events, but if you're up there, man, I'd love to get you a ticket, and I'd love to meet you and sit down and have a cocktail.
I could dig it. Absolutely. Brian, that would be my honor. And Russell, you know how I feel. It's all good.
I'll be getting you out here to California shortly, brother.
There you go, my brother. I look forward to it.
Take care, guys.
Okay, cheers.